Joined now by Nick Lecky, former K-Stater, former NFL player. We've had Nick on the show before. We always enjoy having him to talk football, and he gives us a different perspective because, of course, he was a center and offensive lineman, and he joins us today on the program. How you doing, Nick?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing today?
Well, I'm doing better than Bill Snyder is, apparently. He was a little bit cranky yesterday at his presser. You played for the man, of course. I mean, have you seen him that frustrated or irritated with the media before like that?
No, I mean, because usually he's pretty good about being reserved, and he's good about, you know, answering the question he has in his mind and sort of leaving at that. And I think that was something where I think he just kind of saw what John was trying to do, and he saw the question he was trying to ask, and he just stopped short and was like, write what you want to write, you know? Like, you're just going to do it anyway. So he's like, I get it as like a nod to be like, I know what you're doing. I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to skip all this nonsense because I'm old and I don't got time for this.
Yeah.
Write what you're going to write. You know him, he's never been, obviously, the biggest fan of media, and, you know, he's always been short with everybody, and I think to me it was kind of cool that he showed some fire and some passion.
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed it. I honestly thought it was great theater, and I thought John had a right to ask those questions, and I thought he was one of the few in that room that had the guts to try to follow up and say, you know, basically what John was saying the last time was, you didn't really answer my question. Let me try again. And like you said, Bill could have easily have said, you know, listen, I know where you're going with this. Like you just said, I know where you're going with this, and you're not going to get it. Next question. But he kind of lost it and said the word hell, and it's like, whoa, holy
which
cow.
Which is huge for him, which is big for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's like for any other coach, it's like not even a blip on the radar. But for him, that's huge.
Well,
that's
real big. It's good that he has that inner fire and that fortitude at age 78. But having said all that, you know, to me, he's grown frustrated with all the questions, but he's grown frustrated because so many people in the media and K-State fans are frustrated by the way this whole quarterback situation's been handled. So to me, he's kind of made his own bed and kind of has to lie in it. If you would just decide on who your quarterback is, and to me and to many, it's pretty clear who you probably should go with. And the fact that he doesn't seem to say anything very positive about Skylar Thompson, well, he was a part of it, this and that, and he goes on about Alex Dilton, makes a lot of people scratch the head and wonder, has the game passed Bill Snyder by, or is he trying some kind of psychic moves on Thompson to get him fired up more and play better, which I think is a dangerous precedent?
I think it's something where I think essentially, and maybe in his head, you know, we all have our preconceived notions, and maybe he's seen more of Dilton, and he's more comfortable with Dilton because, you know, that's the type of quarterback that, you know, in the system, you look at like Josh Freeman, or not Josh Freeman, that's not Snyder, but you look at Colin Klein, you look at L. Roberson, you know, you look at Mike Bishop, Mike B., Chad May, you know, more runners than they were passers, and then it's just tough when you're used to that, and calling a offense like that's tough to switch up a little bit and to get more of a pure passer, more of a guy who's, you know, hey, man, this guy's going to air it out 70% of the time, and then, you know, you can run it 30% of the time, where they're used to the flip side of that, the inverse of that. So I think it just – and then to him, too, possibly in his mind, maybe one quarterback hasn't, like, beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt to change his mind. But, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I like Skylar.
Yeah, I'm with you. And to me, he's a sophomore. He should be the future of the program. And, you know, Dilton, we can tell he's just not good at throwing the football. He's not very consistent. He didn't look good against Texas the other day. But I want to get your perspective as a former offensive lineman. And you played center, of course, at Kansas State, All-American. I want you to tell me, and you played guard, you played center. How does this affect an offensive line? You probably went through this some at K-State because it seems like Coach Snyder almost all the time has a quarterback dilemma to figure out who's going to start. Well, I'm going to play a couple guys for a while and figure out who's going to separate themselves. But how does that affect the offensive line? Because they've caught some heat this year. They haven't played as well as people expected them to. And I don't want to cut them a pass, but at the same time, those quarterbacks are different. And I think that affects your wide receiving core, and it also affects your offensive line. Give me the perspective from offensive linemen on having two different guys out there and not knowing who's going to be your guy from series to series.
It's more different if you're a receiver because you look at the timing aspect of everything, and every quarterback has their nuances that as a receiver you got to get used to. So it's a little bit more difficult for a wide receiver. The one thing that I've noticed that with Delton is that his pocket presence, he's such an athletic guy, and he's such a good runner that his first instinct with any sort of pressure is to tuck the ball and run. I mean, you know, that's what he did to Hayes, and, you know, that's what he's done in the past.
Uh-huh.
So he's not likely to sit in the pocket for an extended period of time. And then with Skyler, it's like he can run the ball, as we showed with that touchdown that he scored, which is awesome. Skyler's more willing to sit in the pocket and you know, make that pass and look at that second, that third read. So as an offensive lineman, you just got to get a block a little bit longer for one over the other, but it really doesn't change too much.
Let me ask you about the play at West Virginia, because I think there's still something to that Snyder obviously wasn't happy with Skylar Thompson audibling out of a quarterback sneak on a fourth down in inches when he went for it at his own 42. There are some rumors out there, and I can't verify whether or not there was another coach on the staff that told Skylar to audible or not. As an offensive lineman, and I don't know if it was you or somebody I saw on social media talking about when you're already lined up anticipating a quarterback sneak as a lineman, you're trying to get low, you're trying to just get that little bit of leverage, and you option into an option play of all things. That is really difficult on offensive line. Would you agree with that?
100% agree, and yes, that was me.
Okay.
So they were lined up in a track stance, right? So you look like, was it Georgia Tech? I forget who's the offensive line, Navy? One of those guys who, like, their O-linemen are, like, 220 pounds, so they're lined up in track stances, and they're just firing off the ball like running old-school gear. So when you're prepared for a quarterback sneak, I mean, you're in there, like, your stance is, hey, here's what we're doing. I'm lined up for, like, a 40-yard dash. And then I'm lined up for a 40-yard dash. Okay, now you're going to ask me to do a three-cone drill. You're going to ask me to go to my right. It's impossible. And something like that, too, is like you can overthink football, and a lot of people overthink football,
uh-huh.
and you forget it's a simple game. It's a totally simple game. And when you audible out of a quarterback sneak, it's a major no-no to me. Like, I get the read. I get you think you can beat them. But it's like, man, have some confidence in the O-line that they're going to get this job done, and let's do it. So I think it could be still where, like, the old, you know, Coach Snyder was like, you know what, yeah, don't ever do that again. You know, that's a major no-no. And then they suffered because, you know, you're not going to get the right guys on the edge that they expected. It's like, just, you know, just run it. Say, hey, guess what? F you. Here's what we're going to run. Stop us. And that's huge. And that's saying, hey, I don't really trust this O-liner. I think this is a better plan. Either way, it's not a good thing to do.
No, I agree with you there. Nick Lecky, former K-Stater All-American and a former NFL player, is with us today on the Sports Ticket. I'm interested to get your perspective. You know, Tom Hayes and Dana Dimmel not on the staff anymore, and you've got a lot of younger coaches, of course, Siler and Klein and Andre Coleman, offensive coordinator, younger guys on the coaching staff with Coach Snyder. Of course, you played for Coach, so I'm interested in your perspective on this as well, is that, you know, I think, and I always compare Coach Snyder to my grandpa. My grandpa's 19 years older than him. He's 97, and he's out on the farm, and he's not going to let go of some things because he's used to doing it all that time. Oh, I think we just lost Nick. Nope. Hold on a second. We'll get him back. All right, you there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm here. All right. So, sorry, you got cut. You said you got a lot of younger guys on staff.
Yeah, so you got a lot of younger guys on staff, and I compare Coach Snyder to my grandpa a little bit. He's been on the farm his whole life. That's what he knows. He's 97. And does he slow down? Yeah. Does he have to give up begrudgingly some of the responsibilities on a farm? Yeah, a little bit. But he's not willing to go ahead and hand the reins over and say, hey, you do this, you do that, and I'll just be kind of a figurehead. And we kind of saw that with Bobby Bowden at Florida State. He kind of eventually just became a figurehead. Bill Snyder doesn't, I don't think, want to be that type of coach, and he's still highly involved. What about the situation with the coaching staff? Would you have two new coordinators the same year, both significantly younger, kind of the new guard with the old regime with Coach Snyder? Does that cause problems?
It does. And I think you hit the nail on the head, and it's not getting enough attention. Is that you're right? You have brand new coordinators. You have guys who've never been coordinators before, and they're figuring out stuff too. They have a tremendous amount of football knowledge, and they're trying to work their system in the Snyder system. Because overall, it is still Snyder's system,
sure.
Offensively. And then so there's a lot of change going on, And I think that's a part of Snyder's frustration is like, man, you know, I just want this to go. And it's like right now it's not happening. And you see signs of it here and there that it's starting to click. And I think it just you got to get on the same page. And I think they'll get there. It's just unfortunate that they got to wait a couple games into the season to do that before they get there. But, yeah, it's definitely a thing. You got three different personalities trying to run the offense.
Yeah. It seems
you got two different personalities.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems, and we saw this second half against Texas, and maybe it was a coincidence in regards to the sense of urgency down 19-0, didn't score before halftime, and knowing, hey, we need to win this game to enhance our bowl chances. Or maybe it was a combination of, okay, Skyler's going to be the guy here in the second half. But the team played harder. They were more efficient and played a lot better in the second half against Texas. Skyler Thompson happened to be the quarterback. Does this happen with you guys, whether linemen, receivers, teammates, when you have these issues and there's the outside noise, whether from the media or from the fan base, about who's going to be your quarterback, and you probably deep down there's a guy that you prefer to be the guy, or you think he's maybe going to do more for your team in order to win, do you maybe have a little bit extra or get a little bit more of a shot of adrenaline when maybe your guy comes in the game to quarterback or play for your team?
You know, if you look at the situation with Alabama versus Georgia in the national championship game, and they made the substitution at halftime to go to Tua,
yeah.
And I think it does give you a certain shot in the arm where you're like, okay, we tried it, it's not working today, let's go with him. And you're right, it does boost the overall performance. And then also, you know, you've got pride, and you want to be like, okay, I'm sick of this, we got blank. Let's go out there fired up and let's try and get this W. So you have a boost of confidence, new quarterback with the quarterback change, and then you got the boost from just your pride. And then as far as being an offensive lineman and being concerned about who goes in, no, your plate is already full, as they say. So whoever goes in, you're like, hey, guess what? I'm glad I don't have to think about that. And, you know, you're right. You might have someone you prefer. Like, oh, man, I like Delton because, you know, he runs here. Or I like Skyler because, you know, he can put the ball here. In the end, you really don't care. You just like whoever wants to be in, you want them in there full throttle doing their thing.
Let me ask you this. As a player, and I want you to put yourself in the situation that happened at West Virginia, Skyler said after the game he was blindsided that he was pulled from the game. According to all reports, Coach Snyder didn't even tell the offensive coaching staff that he went to Delton and said, you're going in. And that certainly ruffles some feathers because, you know, if you got assistant coaches on your staff, you should probably keep them in the loop, obviously, especially if they're calling plays this or that. As a player, you develop relationships with your coaching staff, and I'm sure you had coaches that you liked on the staff more so than other coaches, and maybe you had a more personal relationship with, say, your offensive line coach than, of course, the head coach. When things like that happen and you see a person that you respect that is telling you how to do this or that, whether it's a quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, whatever, and the head coach does something to that person you work with quite a bit, does that set off an alarm or does that set off a red flag, or is that one of those things where you don't care as a player? What's your thinking on that?
It's along the same lines as when players get into fights with coaches on the sideline.
Uh-huh.
Anything in-game, like, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yep, I have a sister. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you guys know how you would fight in the household, right?
Right.
You guys get into big arguments, and yep. Then like a couple of minutes later, you're like, all right, cool, we're good, right? Everything would be cool?
Yep.
That's what a game is. A game is fire, intensity. The greatest thing and the one thing that I miss about playing is that when you're in a game, nothing else matters. You have one focus. You have one goal, and that's just to impose your will upon the guy in front of you and score touchdowns or prevent touchdowns. And so in a game, something happens, heat of the moment, you chalk it up. You're like, all right, now, that being said, if that were to happen again, and, you know, he puts in someone, I mean, it's his team, he has the right to, but if he does, it makes a change without telling anybody, then you got issues.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's like, okay, this happened before, you know, you can't be fighting with the coach every week, you know, if you're the player, you know, that doesn't work. But if it happens once, I'm like, okay, cool, it happens. So the issue would be if it happens again without knowledge, then it's like, okay, guess what, you know, that's a big, you know, insult to you.
Right, and odds are, you know, we know how tight-lipped K-State is on some of those things. They probably took care of that in-house. I would not be surprised at all if Coach Snyder talked to his coach and said, hey, you know what, I'm sorry about that, but, you know, it's heat of the moment type of thing, and this is the way I felt we had to go. I could see that happening, and we wouldn't even know about it. And then again, maybe he didn't do anything and just said, hey, you know, I'm the guy that's in charge, and I'll do whatever I want. I don't know, but...
who knows? And I think we can speculate on that, but yeah.
Right.
I'd be concerned if it happens again.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Then it's like, okay, what's going on? Like, this is like civil war in there. This is some dysfunction, family dysfunction right now.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good at all. Okay, so last question about K-State before we turn our attention real quickly to Patrick Mahomes, because I want to get your opinion on him. He's amazing. So the rest of the way for K-State. Can K-State, I mean, when they keep changing quarterbacks or can't decide on one, is this something that's going to just tear apart the season? Maybe some people say it's already has, but there's still a lot of games to play. Winnable game at Baylor coming up this weekend. I mean, how do you foresee this season playing out for the Cats?
Man, I really think this is the time where those guys just need to buckle down, and you really have to go back to the 1-0 philosophy. I mean, your only concern should be Baylor. You know, you can't think about any other game. You can't think about the past. You just have to focus on Baylor, and you have to be like, okay, listen, I'm not going to point a finger here or there, whatever. I'm going to take it upon myself to do what's right for this team and to do my job. And it could be something where they had success with the bowl game, the Cactus Bowl, where one quarterback plays, not working, switch to the other one, and you have success. But when you lose, all your faults get exposed. And when you win, all your faults get glossed over.
Yeah.
So when you lose, you know, that makes people unhappy, and then you're going to pick apart things. Whereas when you win, no worries. Hey, we'll get it fixed. We won. No big deal. So I think that's the main thing, just to get a win, just to sort of quiet the boat a little bit. Because when you win, no one questions you. When you lose, everything gets questioned.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is.
You're right. Nature of the beast. All right. There is no quarterback controversy in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is the man. And can you imagine blocking for this guy? I mean, he keeps plays alive. Chris Harris, former Jayhawk, was talking about this for the Bronco corner, outstanding corner. Said he needed two IVs after the game. He was running all over the field trying to keep up with receivers. Mahomes kept extending plays. I'm going to ask you again from an offensive lineman's perspective, when guys are able to keep plays alive, does that make it more fun for a lineman because you know, hey, we can make a big play because he's scrambling? Or you're like, oh, crud, I got to run all the way over here and try to protect him for as long as I can?
Yeah, and no, it makes you more aware of the fact that certain quarterbacks who are less fleet of foot or maybe can go down with an arm tackle, is you have a clock in your head, and it's just your internal clock. Call it what you like, and that you're like, okay, I blocked enough, this ball should be gone. And then I think those rules change. You have to retrain yourself as an offensive lineman to say, okay, no more time clock in my head. Here's the guy I got to block. I got to stay on him. And then I got to kind of puke over my shoulder if I can to see where Mahomes is at, to maybe go up the field or maybe not to go across the line of scrimmage because he's going to do something fantastic. And it brings confidence. Like, as a fan, watching that fourth quarter, what were you thinking? Were you like, we got this? Or were you kind of down, like, oh, no, this is tough?
No, we're going to get it. I was like, we're going to come back. As long as we get a stop on defense, that was the concern for me. You got to get a stop. And if the Chiefs get a stop, then the Chiefs are going to win the game.
So multiply that feeling you had by, like, 5 or 10.
Uh-huh.
Because, obviously, in the game, you know, you have your confidence. You know, you have your game plan. You know what it's going to be. You have a guy you know who can do it and has done it, your confidence is insane. It's unreal. You're almost like, okay, we're down one or two possessions. We need two scores. We got this. And it's amazing once you have that confidence is that you get the edge. You know, you get that one little 51% majority edge over your opponent. That's all you need.
And,
it's amazing. That's what he brings.
And he has so much poise, and he's a pretty humble kid. And I know everybody wants to compare him to all kinds of different quarterbacks, and I say he's his own guy. I think it's almost insulting to say Brett Favre because Favre was reckless, and at the age of 23, he wasn't doing anything like this National Football League. But one of the things I never hear, and this is what I bring up, I'm not saying he is this quarterback at all, but his calmness, his composure, things were not going well the other night. penalties. He was struggling. The Broncos brought the house many times, confused him, I think, a few times. But they had cameras on him. You didn't see him, you know, throwing his helmet down in frustration or gritting his teeth. He just kind of smiled a few times. He was focused. He just seemed like Mr. Cool. And when I think of coolness in quarterbacks, I think of Joe Montana and the story when they're down 16-13 in the Super Bowl, and he goes into the huddle, and he pointed out some person was in the stand, said, oh, somebody's here, and just broke the levity of the situation and said, okay, let's go down and score this thing and win. And the team had complete faith in him and knew they were going to, because even though it was a crazy moment and you could be panicking and freaking out, their leader was Mr. Cool under fire. And Mahomes, at the age of 23, seems to have that trait in him.
Does. And, you know, I attribute that to his dad being an 11-year Major League Baseball player, and his godfather who played for like 19, 20 years in the bigs. And once you have that sort of guidance, it's all the same. Any professional sport, it's all about your demeanor. Because you're actually like, you know, baseball, you know, you're playing for like however many pitches you get before you hit it, foul out, strike out. And with football, when you're like eight seconds of play, right? It's like 8 seconds is your average amount of play. And so his demeanor and his off-field stuff is wonderful. And I think a good comparison for Mahomes is Alex Smith with an arm.
Yes.
That's what it is.
I agree.
Alex Smith, you couldn't rattle Alex Smith. You know, Alex Smith was seems like the best teammate to have, best quarterback, because he was quiet, he had his confidence, he went about his thing. He just can't make the throws that Mahomes can make. I mean, but Alex Smith was a 4'5", 4'4", guy coming out of Utah. And that's Mahomes. Mahomes can extend plays, and he can do it with a great arm.
Yep, and he keeps his eyes downfield. That's one of the big reasons why I was all for Mahomes to be the quarterback instead of Alex, not because I didn't like Alex, but because I knew Mahomes would try to still go downfield when things broke down, whereas Alex usually was conservative. He would tuck it and run and wouldn't want to turn the ball over. All right, it's fun to watch him. That's for doggone sure. Off-the-wall question for you, Nick. So Mahomes, they were calling him Showtime the other night, which I don't know if I like that one or not. I like Mahomes' magic, which he pulled off at Mile High for the second time since he's been out there. It's crazy. 5 starts and 2 have been at Mile High in his short career. Did you ever have, and of course we got to keep it clean, did you ever have a nickname that somebody gave you that you either really couldn't stand or that you really liked or was really clever? I'm guessing you football guys, not only football guys, but athletes in general, everybody seems to have a nickname for everyone.
Yeah, I had a lot of names. Dork. They called me Dork. In Arizona. I was the first to wear V-necks, like, consistently. Like, I used to wear white V-necks in Arizona, uh-huh. And, like, the guys would bust my chops, like, hey, are you putting in a shift at the coal mine? Or, like, you know, where's your pack of cigarettes? Or, hey, my dad called, he wants a shirt back. So Dork was one.
Dork.
They called me, when I was in Manhattan, they called me the Young Lion.
Okay.
There was a news article written, and they called me the Young Lion. And then in high school, they called me Bettis. Because I was a big Jerome Bettis fan,
okay.
But then I was fat, so they called me Fat and Bettis.
Oh, man.
They called me Bettis.
That's cruel.
So, yeah, it was brutal. So Bettis, Young Line, and Dork.
Wow.
Those were my favorite. And Sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
They called me Sprinkles.
Do I dare ask how you got Sprinkles?
I ordered extra sprinkles with the chocolate milkshake on an O-line dinner one night.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
Sprinkles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing that strikes fear in the opponent than a lineman called Sprinkles. That's for sure.
I know, right? I like it.
So what are you up to now? What do you do now for a living, man?
So I work for Boston Scientific, and I do urology. I do device sales.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time and continued success in the real world, man. And we look forward to having you on sometime down the road. How's that sound?
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Take care, Nick. That's Nick Leckie, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, talking K-State and Chiefs football.